it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. We're live from Tolbert Garage Door in Mesquite, and we got G-Bag flags to give away. There's pizza happening. Some people are playing pool. We got the show. It's an extravaganza, and I will just tell you personally, about 3 weeks ago on my birthday, our garage door quit working, and Colby Tolbert and his guys immediately, they created an appointment for me that would not normally exist, and were able to fix it, I think, in 12 hours?
That is impressive. 12 hours?
It's crazy. You know, the only reason it was 12 hours is because he said, do you want me to come by tonight? And I was like, we're supposed to be doing like a dinner and everything. Otherwise, it would have been way quicker.
You know, and I'm glad that you used the service of Colby Tolbert. I just texted him one day and said, hey, I have a problem.
Yeah.
Is this the solution? And he said, yes, I can bring you a battery to take care of it right now. And I was like, that's my dude right there. That's what I'm talking about. And guess what? The battery fixed everything. So if I hadn't known him, what would I be doing with my life? Stuck in the garage still? That's what I'd be doing.
Right. Yeah. And I'm glad that you're here.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been able to get out
of the garage.
I'm so glad that
what
you're here.
What was I going to do? I don't know how to lift that garage door, Kevin.
Sure. And you know,
without my lift.
Well, by the way, and depending on what's wrong with the garage door opener, it will go from you could maybe lift it to it is going to be impossible
no,
for you to lift.
It is shut down.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. The Stars begin play tonight, and I am already regretting this segment, because I already see the text coming in. From the 972, my bold prediction is the Stars are going to go 82-0. From the 903, there's only one answer for this, Kevin, and that's 82-0. But I assume you're going to have a problem with that or say it's not possible. I guarantee that is not possible, and the Stars will not go 82-0. That's not being a hater. That's living in this reality.
That is absolute hate, Kevin. You can call it reality if you want, but why don't you dream of 82-0? You know, like that's the thing that I don't understand. Everybody wants that opportunity. How amazing would it be to be the one team in history that went 82-0 and then set the mark for everybody else out there?
I'm telling
you're like,
you,
nope, I can't even see that.
That
dream.
Is a nightmare scenario for the Stars. They would go into the NHL playoffs with more pressure on them than any team in the history of organized athletics.
You know what?
If they win a series 4-1, people would be like, what happened? Why did you only win 4-1?
You know what, though? That actually did happen. Remember when we covered the Plano West baseball
yes,
team?
Yes, and guess what? They carried the burden of being undefeated into the playoffs. And when they won a series 2-1, everyone's like, whoa,
what happened? They lost the first game of that series, and the coach went, I'm glad we lost.
Yes.
Now we can move on from
See?
It. So that would actually only help them get to the Stanley Cup, Kevin.
Okay.
Because they ended up winning the state championship that year.
That actually is true. Well, great.
82-0 is definitely the one that I'm going to go for, Kevin.
No, well, fine. Then I'll just say this to what you always say. I bet you can't.
Mm.
So that's what I'll say.
I can't. The Stars can.
Okay. Now, I'm going to go to Lisa Simakopoulos to start this. She had a couple of bold predictions. Want to see, they get bolder as we go along, how you feel about these predictions, okay?
Okay.
Start number one. The Stars will finish with a top three power play in the NHL. I think this is achievable.
Top three.
Because you think about where Gulletin came from,
yeah,
and just that destructive force of nature that was their power play.
Yeah, and they were effective last year, too.
Yes.
And now the way that they might use Mikko interests me a lot.
Yeah.
And then he might double dip a little bit, that they might feel a little stronger in certain. I really like this idea, and it also gets Mikko on the ice more, which he likes.
Yes,
and also gives us, you know, more opportunities to see Superman moments like he had in the playoffs against Colorado. Yeah, dude, I think that they can definitely be a top three power play unit out there.
For the 972, come on, y'all. Man, time flies. It seems like just yesterday, Kevin was swearing up and down the Stars were terrible and couldn't go 82-0. Not that first part, but yes,
from the
I agree, you can't.
903, they won't go 82-0. 81-1, maybe. So I appreciate that, y'all.
And they said with the first tie in the history of the NHL. They used to have ties. That's not the first tie in the history of the NHL.
You don't know that.
All right. I do know that. So this one is interesting. And we talked about it with Brian Ray earlier in the day. Jason Robertson breaks 100 points again. Now, this would be huge.
I don't know how.
Okay, so this would be huge for the team. This would be huge for Robertson himself and obviously have major implications on what that contract is going to look like. You just said you don't know how.
So he's lining up on the Johnston-Bork line, it looks like.
I mean, look, Wyatt Johnston gets back to where and, we all...
Yeah, Brian Ray told us Wyatt Johnston looks like a man now rather than the boy that he has always been.
Did he say because he had a beard?
Yeah, but he also said he was thicker.
Yeah,
He put on some body. He put on some bulk. I don't know what to expect from Bork because he's like we've seen him a couple times now get out there on the ice and looks fun, right?
Yeah.
He took advantage of a couple of opportunities. He was opportunistic in the playoffs. I just don't know. It feels like Robertson's game is slower than playoff hockey. And whenever we get to playoffs, we see that, right? We see that you're just like, all right, dude, you got to really move a little bit quicker. And
although he still gives you these weird, like, five-game bursts where you're like, man, maybe this is our best player. And then it goes back to, never mind.
Yeah, and maybe it's my own mind thinking that hence Rantanen and Lyon's going to get all the goals and everybody else is just going to kind of be around. But I guess because he's lining up next to Johnston and Bork, like, that gives him really good opportunities to set the table for him, too. Because he's really good at assists.
Yeah.
He's really good at setting the table. And so I just don't see it.
Okay.
I just don't see it. But that doesn't mean that I don't believe he can be an 80-point guy.
Okay.
But that's the history of this team, right?
Yeah.
Because you have a bunch of guys that are really here, but you never had anything that was exceptional. And now you feel like you have Rantanen, but you're like, will he just fall back into the fold? There's a lot of questions I have about this team, and I just really want to see Gullets and grow this thing fast.
I want to set expectations for this. Just kind of pick your brain. What's your percentage breakdown for the value of Robertson based on this season? Is it like 50-50 regular season playoffs? Is it 30-70 with the advantage?
What do you mean value?
Like your value for his contract going forward. I know he's a restricted free agent.
Playoffs.
But okay.
70-30.
Playoffs. Okay.
Like he can do all the good things in the regular season, and you know what? Nil's definitely smarter than me. And he's probably going to go, hey, we got to get to the playoffs somehow, Corey. But you've said it, we've said it, we've talked about it a lot, very similar to the Cowboys. Championship game is what we need to get past. And so if you're something that can get us there, that's great. But getting us past that, that's the next phase of that. And I don't know that I've guaranteed that he is the factor yet for me.
Okay. All right. Now, somebody threw out there from the 903, top five power play, top five penalty kill. First of all,
dude,
that combination means you're going to be smoking people in the regular season.
I would love that.
And Otter wins the Vezina. This is something that we've talked about for a while. That is one of Assimikopoulos' predictions. This Jake Oettinger is a Vezina Trophy finalist. Now, and they only take three for that. I wanted to tie that into this real quick. The tiers of goaltenders. So the Athletic took an anonymous panel of NHL coaches to rate all of the starters. Okay? And tier one has four people in it. Oettinger is not one of them.
Ooh,
but
wow.
Oettinger is the top person in tier two, which means they have him ranked as the fifth best goalie in the league, which that's a great place to be. But consider this. He was split right down the middle, or just about. Six people put him in tier one, five people put him in tier two. And everybody described him as a workhorse because they also talked to retired goalies. And so workhorse came up a lot. But I think you'll appreciate this, Corey. The reason why he was not put in tier one is the people who put him in tier two say they want him to take over more in the playoffs. And I feel like that is a concern we have heard from Stars fans through the years for sure.
I've said this for, I feel like, the last 3 years about the playoffs. We had... Dobby had a great run, right? He had that run that we were like, wow, he is standing on his head. But we were spoiled by the 99 season and watching Ed Belfour in those playoffs and his sterling service out there.
By the way, really random, in a few weeks, I think it's the first weekend of November, or I guess the one after the Halloween weekend, so many players from that 99 Cup team are all going to be signing at the Dallas Card Show. So if you're if you're so inclined, go ahead.
We got spoiled by how good he was.
And, I agree.
And the goalies he beat along the way, to Patrick Waugh, Dominic Hasek, like that.
Agreed.
He was defeating the best goalies.
Yes.
And that's the mindset that I always have is you have to be the best goalie on the ice that night. And there are nights when I'm like, I know he's the best. There are plays when I'm like, that's why he's the best. And then there are outcomes that I'm like, dude, why wasn't he the best? And you want that 10-15 game run where you're just like, nobody could beat him. And that's what we're missing. And once he does that, he'll go into this like legendary status. Right now he's still young. Dude, goalies last for like 58 years, I feel like.
Yeah.
So he's still got the time to do it. It's just you'd like to see him do it with this bunch.
Yeah, and you know what? I think the narrative is pushed too far in him the other way. I also agree at times I'd like to see him take over more in the playoffs, but there seems to be this bizarre narrative that he's just not good in the playoffs.
That's not true.
Yeah, it's not.
No, and I didn't mean to...
No, I'm not saying you. I'm saying other folks.
Yeah, no, it's not true. It's just there's this... You want to see this stretch where it's just like... unbelievable, you know, and that's where you get that. It's and again, it could be maybe McDavid is your guy that does, you know, maybe it's Rantanen that has that stretch. You don't need Otter to do it, just whoever it is to go take over.
From the 903, ties were before the merger. Not true. And from the 972, Razor said a team's never won a cup with a first year coach. I can guarantee you that's inaccurate. What about the first year of the NHL?
In your face.
Now, after that, maybe they're right. But the first year of the NHL,
and that's your Razor's edge.
Yeah, somebody had to be in their first year as the coach.
By the way, I do love Razor. I think he's fantastic.
No, absolutely. And that actually is a good fact.
Kevin from the 254 update, Bevo is in Red Oak now. So
okay,
keep track of what's going on.
All right. Thank you very much. What do you think about the idea that Nils Lundqvist. I like saying it like that. No, I like saying it my way.
All right.
Is solidified as a top four role with the team with 20 minutes of ice time a night.
Man, talking to Tiffin yesterday about that was really, you know, and even Brian Ray kind of talking about it a little bit. I would love for him to be the one that we always thought that he would be. So I would love for that to happen.
Now, you've liked plenty of these predictions.
Oh, crap.
And I want to make sure I point out that
here goes Kevin. 0-82, basically, what Kevin's saying.
That Lisa Simakopoulos is a great reporter. She's great on the Stars beat. This is her final prediction. The Stars get eliminated in the first round of the playoffs. I want to make sure that is not attached to my name.
Kevin.
Don't blame this on me.
I have a big fear of this.
Do you?
I do.
Oh.
First-year head coach, you know, and, like, we love him because we love Glenn Gullitzen. We got to know him a lot whenever we were working Saturdays and Sundays, thanks to our boy Waddle for hooking up those interviews. But my fear is, like, DeBoer had this thing running as a machine. Like, everybody understood their responsibilities. I feel like you're going to get a little bit of a dip somewhere. I know the talent's there. They have expectations.
Sure.
But when things go wrong, Gullitzen's going to have to figure out how to lean on those guys to keep things right and get them back collected quickly.
Yeah.
And I've never seen him in a playoff series, so I don't know his chess pieces. I don't know how he works that. So I do have a very big fear of this happening. And because now, like Choppy said the other day, I love this line from Choppy. He was like, dude, the Stars get their mail in the semifinals. Like, that's where it's delivered.
Yeah.
But that just the idea of being entitled to be there is completely different than earning your way into that spot and then earning your way to the next one. And that's the thing that I'm kind of concerned about is those guys going, yeah, no, we belong there. We'll be there. Instead of all those little things that they did to get there in the first place.
Yeah. And I think, like, that's a great place to be, but that also makes me nervous for the season, you know, because, like, I know Brian Ray was just joking around with us, but he's like, hey, let's play the first game first.
Yes.
And he's right about that.
Yes, no, he's dead
but
on.
You can't help but have those thoughts of, I said it last year, I'll say it again this year, it is Stanley Cup or bust. I firmly believe if you went across the Stars fan base, even with a new head coach because of what they've been doing, if they don't make it to the Stanley Cup final and maybe win it, it's going to be a disappointing season.
That's true.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Tolbert Garage Door in Mesquite. Coming up next, it's time for some NFL overreaction or reality. Plus, we will fire up the Campus Connection. Could Texas OU actually take a back seat to the Mean Green?
Ooh.
All of that coming up next right here on The Fan.
I formation behind Prescott. Williams the deep back. Hand off, Williams coming right. There's a block. Williams tiptoeing through traffic. Williams to the pylon. Touchdown, Cowboys! Touchdown, Javonte Williams!
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Tolbert Garage Door in Mesquite. Man, we've already made a lot of great connections today. Somebody just dropped off an autographed Josh Hamilton card as well. So where we're getting gifts, there's pizza here, there's pool. It's an extravaganza.
Kevin.
Yes.
Somebody texted in a very good point.
Okay.
About the last segment.
Okay.
This is technically Glenn Gullitson's third year as a head coach.
Oh, that is a great point.
So, like, does that matter at all?
Yes. Stanley Cup, here we come.
In your face, hockey.
There you go.
Take that.
You know what they say. In your face, hockey.
Puck, all right. Yeah.
So let's do some NFL overreaction or reality, and let's start it out spicy. Overreaction or reality, healthy Javonte Williams is a top five running back in the entire NFL.
Yes.
Wow.
Reality. I mean, I don't know what stats you need.
Sometimes people's perceptions are hard to break.
He's one of the top five rushers as far as yards is concerned, as far as attempts is concerned. I think he's in the top 10 in touchdowns. And he's proven
yards
to be
per carry
yeah he's
good.
Proven to be not just a good running back but a good receiver out of the backfield. He's a good secondary blanket after Jake Ferguson for Dak. And at the moment, and give a lot of credit to the Cowboys offensive line, but give him the credit for that extra yardage that he picks up. So yeah, man, I don't think that one's too spicy, Kevin. My apologies.
Oh, okay. We'll have to spice it up.
Yeah.
Alec, NFL overreaction or reality, Javonte Williams at his healthiness is a top five running back in the league.
That's a reality, Kevin. There's not many people in the league doing it as efficiently as he is right now. And to Corey's credit, he's doing everything that they're asking him to do as well. It's not just, you know, like halfback dive right up the middle and he's getting a lot of good blocks and everything. He's doing stuff out of the backfield. He's pass protecting a little bit here and there. And he's doing the zone run concepts as well to the outside, to the tackles.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland. Think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think he's doing it better than most running backs in the NFL right now. He's getting the benefit of Saquon Barkley not getting the usage that I expected. He's getting the benefit of Derrick Henry fumbling every game as well. So I think a lot of people are just kind of soured out on some of the better running backs in the league right now, maybe unfairly in some cases. But, yeah, he's definitely top five right now.
All right, NFL overreaction or reality. The Patriots are a true threat to the Bills now. I know they just beat the Bills, but I'm going to go with for the season. They are a true threat to the Bills right now.
I don't. You know, Vrabel's actually doing a pretty good job.
Sure.
They've just beat the Bills, as you just said. You just mentioned that, Kevin. Thank you for bringing that up.
You're welcome.
And I, for some reason, I didn't realize they were 3-2.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because, like, we just kind of went, oh, at the beginning of the season, oh, okay, all right, they'll be around. And here they are just kind of rolling along, Vrabel saying, we're going to be a tough team. They played Josh Allen tough the other night.
Absolutely.
They made it very difficult. How many times did you see Josh Allen have to get out of the pocket, run to the sideline, stand there and go, crap, I don't have anywhere to go with this.
And that's why one of the throws went into the stands.
Yeah.
And that guy ran away.
And, unfortunately, That guy had to give the ball back.
He did?
We'll get to that in C-block. Kevin.
Oh, no!
Yeah, the this is...
Really?
Kevin, I think this is a reality. I think they are a legitimate threat to them right now.
Okay, Alec, what say you?
It's a reality, and I think it's because one team is stronger defensively right now, just in their personnel groupings, and that's the Patriots, which is surprising to say. But here in 2025, I think they have the benefit of the young rookie quarterback that they can build with if they decide they're good enough. I know their GM has said on the record that he is open to trading. It was when the Micah situation was going on. He was like, I'm not averse to trading picks away to make our team better right now because we can afford to do that. And I think they're only going to improve from here. And that offense, again, outside of Drake May, and, you know, it feels like they have a bazillion running backs that are really good too. Outside of those groupings, you can't name many people on that team. Stephon Diggs is having a good year, but, you know, outside of him, a lot of people couldn't name their other receivers, but they're getting the job done. They're a really fun team.
Now, bonus question to that NFL overreaction or reality, Drake May is a franchise quarterback.
He has plenary authority on right now, Kevin, for that team and that franchise. He can do whatever he wants. They love him there.
Okay. Well, just as long as nobody from North Carolina tweets about him, then you're good.
Dude, they won't.
I know.
Except for maybe at the end of this week they will.
Oh, man.
We'll get to that in the C-block, baby. Or actually, we'll probably talk about that in the Thursday tailgate.
I'm not going to go with that. Maybe we will. All right, Alec, bonus overreaction reality. Drake May, he's a franchise quarterback.
Oh, it's so tough to say so early on, but right now I'm going to say reality. I think he's got the poise. I think he's got the composure.
And you sound so sad about having to say this.
I just don't like putting franchise quarterback tags on people so early in their career.
Sure.
It's just unfair to me. But for the sake of the question, I'm going to say yes, because he has the intangibles. And I think that they care enough, like as a group and as an organization right now, to build around him. So I think that he will be, and he is.
I want to add to this, Alec, there's part of me that agrees with you. Last year it seemed like they were like, the Patriots were like, go run around and make a play. And he did, and then you were like, wow, that was special. And then they didn't have any structure to go along with it. Right now it looks like he has the structure, but he also has that ability to run out around and make some plays. That's the feature I think that they're all looking for in young quarterbacks right now.
All right, you said you wanted spicier. See if this fits the bill. NFL overreaction or reality, the Eagles are ready for a complete collapse.
I think that's an overreaction.
Of course you do.
Stop it. Stop it.
Come on, man.
I want it to happen. I don't want it to happen for Saquon Barkley's sake, because I need stats in my fantasy team. But I can always
trade. You can have a complete collapse and have one player.
I can always
be
trade
good.
Him. But I just – I've Kevin, 20 and 2.
21 and 2, I think, maybe.
It was an amazing number of games that they had won in that stretch while they were also still weirdly having problems.
Right.
So and then they had a meeting of the minds where they did not let Devontae Smith in the meeting, which is weird because he's one of your leading receivers, too. So,
yeah, A.J. Brown, we're going to let that happen.
he shut the door in his face. So I do wonder if there is a problem or if they resolved it. But I'm not ready to say it yet. After tonight, Kevin – ask me this question again tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Alec, what say you?
I say it's a reality, but I'm going to whisper it because Philly fans will attack me on Twitter like they did Sean for just speaking facts.
Did they really?
Yeah, it was actually amazing. He mentioned that, you know, some people around the NFL might be saying there's some people that kind of don't like Jalen Hurts in that building. And I think that's very true as well. And Philly fans started cursing him out like there's no tomorrow, because that's all their vocabulary is. But
that's true.
I say reality because I do think that the Jalen Hurts bit is growing a little bit tired in the locker room too, him being so stoic and not really caring. And I do think the offense is not where it needs to be, to the point where I could see one of those receivers, if not both, getting traded. So I do think they're due for the collapse. And if it's not going to be because of emotions and all of that, it's going to be because the salary cap is going to catch up to them. We've been talking about that for a while now. They might have to make the decision like the Cowboys did with Micah, where they're like, hey, we could just not do this. We could go ahead and move on and just not have to worry about it. So I could see that happening.
All right. You might feel like you have to think on this one, but Corey said he needed spicier questions, so here we go. David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs will go down as the best running back tandem in NFL history. Now, I have stats for you. Sunday was the 14th game in which Montgomery and Gibbs both scored touchdowns. That tied an NFL record for running back, fullback teammates, which is also held by Moose and Emmett Smith.
In your face.
It took them 10 years to do that. This is Montgomery and Gibbs' third season together.
Okay. And it doesn't look like their offensive coordinator's changed his mind about how Ben Johnson did things either.
And it looks like that has worked.
There are plenty of times when I'm like, okay, Jared Goff's about to throw, and they're like, no, we're running for 15 yards. And you're like, dang. You literally were first, and you know you have an opportunity to throw a touchdown. And
yeah.
You just ran for a touchdown instead. I think it's the desire to continue saying we're going to run the ball even in tough situations, to believe in it, to have the faith up front in their offensive line. Those guys believe they're going to crack open holes for the running backs. I think it's a blast to watch. Because David Montgomery, who is known as the bruiser, right?
Right.
Still has the ability to take off on you. And Jahmyr Gibbs, who's known as the fast guy, still has the ability to truck you. And so it's a lot of fun to watch.
But the question is,
they're going to be that? The best ever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Alec. Well, David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs go down as the best tandem of running backs in NFL history.
That's a reality. I thought about it for a little bit, but I told myself that I was just second-guessing myself because I don't know the last time I've seen such a perfect marriage of the two different styles of running.
Yeah.
But to Corey's point, they can do whatever is asked of them.
Yes.
They don't have to be like, they don't have to have just one layer of skill set. They can do whatever because we've seen David Montgomery go out in a game or two. And Jahmyr Gibbs does pick up the responsibility in between the tackles and at the goal line as a pure power runner. You can see David Montgomery take a zone run and go 60 plus yards. Like, they both are so dynamic in their own ways, but they can be similar at the same time. I don't remember the last time I've seen that.
Now, I know your answer might be it's too late. So I acknowledge that could be the answer here. Overreaction reality, you must pick up Rico Dowdle for your fantasy football team.
It's too late.
Oh, did you try?
The Hassan Haskins is probably the one you're trying to pick up right now for the Chargers. Or Vidal, one of those two.
They don't play the Cowboys.
Yeah, no, Dowdle probably got picked up last week by Hubbard owners.
Well, that was clearly a good decision.
Yeah, here's what happened. He got picked up last week by Hubbard owners and didn't play because they just put him on the bench and were like, we'll see about next week. And now they're all like, oh, my gosh, can I trade him? So here's the deal. It's too late, but do you trade for him?
Okay, overreaction
That's
reality.
That's my question to you.
You
I
would
asked it.
Trade for
I'm
Rico
asking
Dowdle.
The questions.
I would say no. I think this is going to stand out as not only an anomaly, but a huge differential from what he does the rest of the season.
He had good run. He had a good run with the Cowboys last year.
He finished
1,300 yards. He's capable. I'm very interested to see how they're going to spread the ball around between when Hubbard's back.
Alec?
I'm not trading for him. I know the 200-yard game is an anomaly. He is a very good player and a very underrated player. But got to remember, for some weird reason, the Panthers have like 14 like starting quality running backs on their roster.
Right.
And I don't know why. It doesn't make any sense to me. He's not going to get that volume every single game. He's not worth trading for.
All right. Now, we got Carter Freeman ready to roll as part of the Campus Connection. Carter, I'm going to include you on this final NFL overreaction or reality question. Overreaction or reality, you no longer feel safe with a 14-point lead. So the Jags...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carman Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts. Podcast, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They overcame a 14-point deficit the same weekend. The Titans overcame an 18-point deficit. Panthers were 17. Broncos were 14. Saints 11. Commanders 10. Like, you're seeing it everywhere. So overreaction to reality, you no longer feel safe with a 14-point NFL lead.
I'm sorry, were you asking Carter that?
Anybody can get in on this
question. Okay, all right. Sorry, I thought you were going to him first. Yes, that's reality for me. And it's like the Golden State Warriors now. You have a 30-point lead, and you're like, no, I can't trust that because they're going to hit 10 three-pointers, and it's going to look ridiculous. The way the game is set up for being able to push the ball downfield, picking up penalties, being able to – it's so much more involved with the passing game. And now, Kevin, too, you're seeing so many more breakaway runs because of that.
That is true.
It seems like you can get past midfield so quickly. Dude, you can – and then Aubrey can kick, what, 7 field goals for you in a matter of seconds. So I feel like – I think you're right, man. I don't feel safe with a 14-point lead anymore.
Alec, what say you?
I'm going to say reality solely based off the fact that the Mike McDaniel-led Miami Dolphins have taught me that no lead in the NFL is ever safe.
Wow.
So, yeah, that reason and that reason only. I don't even need to think about it. I'm just going to go based off of last week. No lead is safe in the NFL.
Yeah. Carter, is this going to be a sweep?
Yes, it is. I'm just thinking about how a lot of college offenses have come into the NFL, and I like what Corey said about how there's so many more breakaway like runs and plays. Like, I just feel like there's more room for chunk plays that can happen in those late game situations. So yeah, the 14-point lead in the NFL is now the 2-goal lead in hockey, right? The unsafest lead.
Okay. I like that.
So many people, Kevin, are upset with our David Montgomery thing. What about Robert Newhouse and Tony Dorsett? Marcus Allen and Bo Jackson, who you've always hated. Priest Holmes and Jamal Charles. Ronnie Brown and Ricky Williams.
Okay, stop it. I will listen to some of those other ones.
Larry Zonka and Mercury Morris.
Okay, how many years, I guess is going to be the question then, did you feel like they operated as a peak together? Because
this is what, 3 years now that you're
watching
this.
Couldn't you easily see it be 6?
Yeah. No, absolutely it could be 6. Depending on... You know, what was it that Jimmy Johnson said about the second year after the Super Bowl? He was like, now everybody wants to get paid. Everybody wants this. Everybody wants that. They want more. And it depends whenever those two go, hold on, do I deserve more or is it okay?
All right.
Eric Dunn and Mike Allstott. Yep, that's a good one right there.
Yeah. You know what? If we're going to throw in like the pseudo fullback, obviously I'm going to go Emmett and Moose if that is the direction that we're going. All right, Alec, if you could go ahead and give me cut number 10, it is time for the Campus Connection.
Screen set up for Caleb Hawkins, has room to run. There goes Hawkins across the 50.
Nice.
Now, for these purposes, we bring in Carter Freeman, and I know normally this would sound like an insane question. Maybe you still think it's an insane question. Is it possible that the Mean Green have the focus of the Metroplex this weekend in addition to Texas OU?
Well, I would hope so, because for the first time ever in Dak Coos Stadium history, they've sold the venue out. So this is the biggest...
First time ever?
Ever. So they've had crowds of over 30,000. Their capacity is right around 30,000, but they had more seating back then, so they weren't official sellouts. This Friday, tomorrow, will be the first ever sellout at that stadium, and it'll be packed. It's a blackout. It's on national TV. It'll be on ESPN2 tomorrow at 6:30. I mean, this is about as close, I think, as UNT will ever get to stealing some of the thunder from an OU-Texas game, right? Because Texas, you know, they're not ranked. They lose last weekend. Like, that does take a little bit of the luster off of it. But at the end of the day, that's still one of the greatest rivalries in college sports, and at the most unique venue, too. So we can't totally take away from it, but UNT's doing their damnedest.
Also, I will say third-party tickets are still available through, like, the fan-to-fan ticket. It's SeatGeek is what they said to go through. UNT's official.
Do you have to get third-party tickets because you didn't buy your tickets yet, Corey?
Look, man. I'm an alum. So I might
What does that mean?
I might be able to swing something good here. I don't know. Maybe I know a guy that knows a guy.
He's Mean Joe Green and Steve Austin all rolled into one.
I don't know that I can, but you know what? I will buy the tickets that way if I have to. So
okay.
But if I can get them in another way, maybe I can.
Now, I want to put realistic
catch somebody in the streets, you know what I mean?
Okay, no to that. Realistic expectations. He's going to rob somebody. Now, realistic expectations on this game. The winner of this game is absolutely in line to get a playoff spot. Not to say that they will. They're going to have to continue to win. But the winner of this game is in line for a playoff spot.
Oh, 1,000,000%. And the American Conference, people talked about it at the Group of Five level as they've lost some of the teams that have been really good in years past. They've moved up to Power Four conferences, right? Well, this is still a very good and very deep conference. There are five teams in the American that could potentially make the playoff, including UNT. And UNT only plays Navy of those teams. So it's UNT, Navy, South Florida, Memphis, and Tulane. There's a bunch to run through. But depending on who plays each other, like that'll go into who ends up playing for the American Conference title, but it will most likely be a team from this conference. And should UNT knock off South Florida already, that's a huge leg up. And then, like I said, they only play Navy, who's undefeated right now, and that's in Denton. That's at home. So they have a very favorable schedule if they're able to get past the Bulls tomorrow.
Yeah, dude, UTSA would be next. And then Charlotte. I don't know if you know the acronym for Charlotte's airport.
I do. It's CLT.
When they fly in, that'll be there. Navy, as he said, UAB, Rice, and then Temple. It's a reasonable schedule for them down the stretch. And it, the way Eric Morse has this team playing right now, dude, they are playing confident. They're playing strong. I love it. They're running the ball very well.
Now,
and chucking it all over the place, too.
Yeah.
Obviously, plenty of love is always going to be thrown out to the Cotton Bowl. But something I just didn't understand, I know a lot of this hinged on the health of Johnny Mateer, but when you look at the struggles that the Texas offensive line has had this year, and you look at how good that Oklahoma defensive line has been, quarterback or no, I did not understand the early point spread that had Texas as the favorite in this.
By how much right now?
Now it's shifted to Oklahoma by 1.5. But early, it was 3.5 for Texas, and I didn't get that at all.
Let me ask, do you think if Mateer is healthy and can throw, that thing shifts very late?
I think if Mateer is healthy and can throw, they might curve. Stomp Texas.
Yeah, no, I Arch hasn't looked good.
And that's, their offensive line stinks.
And the way that OU's defensive front, you know, Carter's about to lay it all out for you, but the way that their defensive front gets after you, it's not going to be any easier for Arch to get comfortable behind in that pocket. So, and the fact that they aren't good running the ball, Texas is not running the ball effectively. Like that big factor just puts everything in the favor of Oklahoma's defense for this game. It's just whether or not their offense can get rolling against Texas defense.
Yeah, and that's something that just as far as, like, yes, OU leads the country in sacks per game. I think it's 4.5 is what they're averaging through five games. It's been phenomenal ever since Brent Venables has taken over the defensive play calling duties. All the players that he's had in the system for years and years have shined, and the defense has been phenomenal. So on paper, absolutely, that is something that OU's defense should eat up is the Texas offense because it's struggled all season long, like you guys said. But, I mean, it's so hard for me to say blowout because if you look at OU's two wins against power competition, which was Michigan in week two and Auburn in week four, they only scored around 20 points in both of them. So it's not like the offense has been something that's just been, you know, wide away, this awesome, like easy to just say, yeah, they're just going to go out there and drop 50 on them. They haven't been that because OU's offensive line has had their own struggles too, and they can't run the ball. That's something that's frustrating as a fan is they cannot run up the middle and they barely get around the edge on their best runs. So I know where Texas is down right now, but I still think that could end up as a top 10 defense by the time the season comes to an end. This is still a very good defensive line, and there are still many veterans within the secondary and on the line of scrimmage too. So to say blowout, I mean, look, I would love to see that because I'm a fan of OU.
Yeah,
Mateer coming back, and this is his first game in a couple weeks too. Like, I think saying OU is going to blow him out, that's a bit much for me.
And I respect that. I just, this feels like a stylistically problematic matchup for Texas, but I totally hear you about the Oklahoma offense. All right, now a couple of like bigger picture college football things, and Carter, we can go in either direction that you want. The transfer portal window, yes, locked in January 2nd through the 16th with the addendum for coaching changes, but also the NCAA is going to allow college athletes to bet on professional sports. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I don't see any way this could eventually go wrong.
Yeah, none. That's never happened before in the history of sports with, giving the players or the people involved the ability to gamble. I think it's wrong. I'm not a fan of how sports gambling has infected so much of just the leagues. You see DraftKings and, you know, what may have you, FanDuel, like every place you go, it's just ever present. And right. I mean, even earlier this year, something that we've totally forgotten about was John Mateer allegedly gambled on college sports 3 years ago, right? And I know it's different, college sports versus pro sports. They're technically separate, but they're so close together, the NFL and college football, that, yeah, something's going to go wrong. And it's going to look really stupid, but the genie's out of the bottle. There's no way you can put it back in.
You know, if that tortilla presser at Chipotle was the one that was giving away the information on John Mateer gambling, then he was right, you know, as if we're seeing Mateer. I want more gambling, Kevin. I want the coaches gambling with each other, the players gambling across the lines. You know, like they gamble on a play at that moment. You know, like they're, hey, I bet we stop you right now. And it's fit. They just throw the money down on the center of the field and they go at it. I want more gambling.
That's called addiction.
Do you have an addiction?
No, if it's not an addiction, if it's always being done, like, everybody doing it all the time.
Corey, we need to tell you something.
That's just,
Carter's not actually here to talk about college football, and neither am I, and neither
is Are all these here people
Alec.
Here for my intervention?
Everyone's here, Corey.
We love you, Corey.
We love
We're
you.
Here to help.
And
we
want
love you,
you
G-bag.
To get better. We love you, Jesus. by the way, come on down. Tolbert Garage Door, where I told him this past Saturday when Broadus was here for the Flagtober stop, I told him I legitimately thought you were going to end that commercial with "We love you, Jesus."
He would,
yeah, and he's going to change that for the next one. And he does love Jesus,
he does.
So that's nice. All right, now we didn't really get a chance to talk about this a lot on Tuesday, Carter, and I feel bad because this was a big game, Miami defeating Florida State in a game that was nowhere near as close as the score would indicate. And you see multiple metrics out there that have Miami as the best team in college football. What are your feelings about Miami off of that win? Because I know we've talked about them this year. We've talked about Carson Beck, but that felt like an important win for them.
Totally. And it's my biggest, the biggest amount of crow I have to eat for my preseason thoughts was about Miami, because I thought they could finish the season unranked. Now, I do think they're the best team in the country. I think because they're so good on the lines of scrimmage, both offense and defense, Carson Beck's not playing hero ball. And like you said, the final score of their game against Florida State was like a 6-point margin, I think.
Yes.
That was a 21-point margin even going into the fourth quarter.
Yes.
That was Florida State. And that was a weird game, too, where the final 15 minutes felt like it lasted about 2 hours.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. Maybe because it was such a blowout, I wasn't paying as much attention to it. But Miami dominated that game from start to finish. And there was a really interesting sequence in the middle where Florida State tries to run a trick play. Gets an interception. The very next play, Miami runs a flea flicker for like a 60-yard touchdown. I just think that showed you the difference in that game versus how well the teams were playing, and just how Miami so far has been able to, everything on paper that we thought they could be, they are that and more. But did you guys know they haven't left the state of Florida yet? They've played all their games at home.
Is that right?
But their only road game was in Tallahassee, which is still in Florida. So they don't have to leave the state of Florida all that much. It's just wild that they don't leave until October. I know they're off this week, but... I did not realize that. I think their first... I'm going to look this up real quick. I think their first true road game might be at SMU at the beginning of November.
Okay. Wow. I seriously did not know that.
I guess that is kind of an opportunity for a lot of teams in the state of Texas, too, to never leave the state. But, you know, it's 12 hours to get across the state.
That was just about what we almost had with the old Southwest Conference.
That's true,
hey, you can run your entire conference just about through the state. All right, so I realize for local and somewhat national reasons why we talk about Texas, Oklahoma. Same thing with South Florida and North Texas. I am, of course, invested in the Florida-Texas A&M game. But outside of all of that, do you think the primary national focus this weekend is on Indiana and Oregon? Because that feels like a humongous game as well.
I wonder what it would have to take for Indiana to be the focus of a weekend. Because I don't think Indiana-Oregon is the main focus. I think OU-Texas is on at the same time. And because that's a game that you've seen every year and in a lot of these conferences, you've lost so many rivalries that this is one you can always go back to. This is one you keep. And I read an article this week that OU tried to relaunch talks with Oklahoma State to get Bedlam back in a couple years, and OSU wasn't interested. So just the fact that OU-Texas is a big game, it does feature a top 10 team and a team that was expected to be good, and this is always an entertaining game. Quarterback health, you know, just so long as the OU quarterback is healthy, right? But
Oregon and Indiana, I hear you. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying that feels weird to me. Oregon and Indiana are a combined 10-0, and they're both top 7.
Yes, they are. And if you look at ESPN's SP Plus, they're 1-3. Oregon's 1 and Indiana's 3. Wow. Like, that's how good of a game this will be. And it'll 100% be an amazing game. But I think just because people are still kind of weirded out by the old Pac-12 teams being in the Big Ten and seeing Indiana go out to the West Coast for a conference game, there's still some kind of just hesitation, I think, with accepting that. We are only in the second year of it. So it'll absolutely have a big focus. But it's just tough that it's on at the same time as OU Texas.
What's your vibe? What's your feeling in terms of, does Oregon take that game? I know they're about a touchdown favorite.
Man, I really want to buy into Indiana. I love Kurt Cignetti. I think all he does is win. Google him, right? Like, he backs it up
right
at pretty much every chance he gets. So I'm still going to go with Oregon because it is at home. And I think Oregon, top to bottom, is a phenomenal team. They have one of the best wins in the country against Penn State. Even if Penn State falls off, I still think that win on the road is huge. So given that they're back at home, I'll go with Oregon in this one. But don't expect Indiana to fold. This should be a very close, fun game well into the fourth quarter.
And is North Texas going to win?
You're going to see a bowl-eligible North Texas. They're going to be 6-0, my friends. And I will be there. I will be there to cover this game for Fan University. So I am super excited to see that environment.
They are going to be so hyped for that stadium. That stadium is going to lift that team, man.
You know what I'm excited, too, is it's going to help people learn about presidents. Because right now we learn that this is the best they've been since Eisenhower. Let's see how far back we can go and learn about more of the presidents. Because I feel like maybe the one thing that Carter loves more than us in college football is presidents.
I do love presidential history. I don't love Abraham Lincoln as much as you do, Kevin, but I do like a lot of presidents. You know what this is not going to be good for, though, is all of the Oklahoma fans driving down 35 at around 6 o'clock. You know what's going to be going on at the same time?
Go
UNT
Mean
South
Green.
Florida. There's going to be so much traffic.
Oh, it's going to be insane.
This is going to be a busy, busy, fun
Just wait
weekend.
Till Saturday. Just wait till Saturday to drive down, Sooner Nation.
Well, Carter, as always, we appreciate having you on. We'll catch up with you again on Tuesday. And when can people listen to Fan University?
This Saturday, 9 to noon, we'll talk OU Texas, Indiana, Oregon. Alabama, Missouri is a game, a ranked matchup that we didn't even get to today. Like, there's still so many fun games. So, yeah, 9 to noon this Saturday. Tune
and
in.
And the results of the UNT game.
Oh, I have a presidential trivia question that was just handed to me. Are you prepared?
Always.
Which president was a POW? Man, we just put you on the spot there.
You did. Chris Arnold popped in. I thought he was going to give me the answer. So
he did.
Is he on a bill?
Oh. Corey, do you know the answer?
It is Andrew Jackson, I believe.
Oh.
All right. I am now the knower of presidential things. And Carter, I have been to one presidential campus.
You and that
have
been was with Carter.
That was with Carter. Yeah, and now I know the most.
Okay.
I bequeath you with all my knowledge.
I don't know what that means, and it concerns me.
Yeah, I thought only ladies could do that.
Google it.
All right. Coming up next.
Oh, my gosh.
That was probably too
Ever.
Far. Coming up next. It's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Whatever Kevin said, and then more.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.